Pastor Jerry's going to come at this time, and he's going to open in prayer and introduce his guests that he has with him. Tell what God has done. Amen.
All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for this day we can come worship you. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity we have in this land to be able to come and gather and lift up our voices together in adoration and thanks for you this morning, Lord. Pray you'd be with every need here this morning. Be with our speaker and our singers, and as we just unite together in one wonderful voice of praise and thanksgiving. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
And give him honor and praise in his house and in our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. They're still moving in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Did you come to church here led by the Holy Spirit? Did the Spirit of God lead you here today, or did Pokemon? I hope it's the Spirit of the living God, because I believe that Pokemon is the Pied Piper that's gotten a hold of the children and is leading them in a pathway that he wants. And, I don't think it doesn't mean we can't overcome that thing. And I don't think that I'm not going to start getting scared, scaring you. But I'm just saying the world is out there, and it does something, and people follow it. You know what I'm saying? It produces a new app, and millions follow it. You know, that always perks up the Holy Ghost radar in me whenever the world rushes into something. Because the world does not discern what it rushes into. People of God, we're to discern before we rush into anything. Whatever the world says, when the world says jump, when the world says turn right here, when the world says turn left here, when the world says go this way, friends, question it. Question it. But when the Spirit of God says jump, jump. Amen. When the Spirit of God says turn right, and everybody else is turning left, and the Spirit of God says turn right, and even most of the church world is turning left, and the Spirit of God says turn right, you know what? Go with the Spirit of God. Go with the Word. Father, we are thankful, Lord God, for all of your many blessings, Father God. We're thankful, Lord, that you have given us so much, even in the word of prophecy. Today, as you are speaking prophetically into your people, Father. Lord, and it's not a wild thing, it's the regular thing of the church. It's the regular function of your Spirit to speak into your church. That's the living church of God. Father, we ask today, Lord, help us to hear and receive thy word. Father, as we give, Lord, in the many areas of missions and ministry, Lord, there are so many people out there that are wanting to partner with a group of people who are doing stuff. And they don't even exactly understand why, but they want to partner. But Lord, as we put our seeds, as we sow our seeds in the offering towards missions and local missions and feeding the hungry and the homeless and all of the things that you've called us to do, Father, as believers, to make a difference. Lord, we just pray that you would pour out, Lord, your blessing. Yes, Lord, your blessing upon what we give, Father, so that you'll get all the glory, because it will be doing the impossible with man, but it is possible with you. Yes. Lord, help us to do the impossible so you'll get all the glory, and not a church and not a pastor, Lord, but you'll get the glory from what happens, Father God, because it will be too big for us. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, and ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, and how he raised me, and how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the eye.
So this morning, felt like God has led me to do something that I've never done before. It might not seem like much to many of you because I'm pretty young. But I've actually been preaching for about 12 years now, and I've never tried this, never done this. So this is going to be a little different, and I'm just trusting God that He's going to speak. So I'm just going to pray, because I need to pray, and just going to see what God has for us this morning. Father, I just thank you so much for your people, your church. I'm just so blessed to be a part of this community, and I'm just thankful, God, that you're stirring us, Lord, that you're doing something in our midst, Lord, that you're wanting to take us to a new level. You're wanting to give us more of yourself, more of your presence, more of your power, more of your life. And Lord, I believe that you're going to take us there. So Father, I just ask that you would open hearts this morning. And God, that you would speak through this fragile pot. So Jesus, we just celebrate you. And I pray these things in your name, Jesus' name, amen. So let me just kind of set the stage a little bit, because traditionally, as many of you know, I'm an expository preacher. I don't know if you have heard of that language or not, but it's basically where you pick a section in the Bible and you work through that section and you kind of you break it down and you explain what was happening and what the author was saying in that time, and then you talk about what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us today. And that's kind of who I am as a preacher, and I'm pretty comfortable to say that that's probably what I will be doing for the rest of my life. But there's the odd time when God will ask me to do something a little different. And so this morning I have nothing prepared, and I did work through a little bit of a couple of different passages of Scripture, and those are kind of some of the things that I'm going to speak on a little bit. But for the most part, I have no manuscript. I mean, this is my note. I usually have a manuscript with me, but I don't. I actually usually work through my messages. Probably I try to preach them to myself, 5 to 6 times before I preach them at Harmony on Sunday morning. I've kind of only really worked through what I think that God is leading me to say once. So this is a different experience for me. I'm thankful that I have my brothers and sisters in Christ here, that you guys, I hope that I've built up a trust in you enough that you can extend some trust to me this morning. And there's another word that I think that the reason that God is wanting me to do this, and it's partly to just to lay down my pride, because, you know, I take a lot of pride in excellence in preaching. And it's something that I try my best to give you the best. And sometimes I feel like there can be this weird thing that happens where my pride and my desire to be excellent can err into the side of wanting to just put on and be the best, because that's what I want to be, is the best. And it's not for necessarily declaring truth, but it's just wanting to deliver in the right way, in the right moment. And there's an area of just, I don't know what the right word is, but it's just trying to put the best foot forward so that I'm not, I don't embarrass myself. You know, I don't know if you guys have got up and shared in front of a lot of people. It can be a scary thing when you get up there and you don't know the right words, or you kind of lose your place and people are, you know, watching you and you're not really, you know, doing a good job. It's embarrassing. And so part of my fear in preaching is I don't want to embarrass myself. But this morning, I'm just going to let that go. And if I embarrass myself, well, let it be for God's glory. So what I'm going to do really is I'm going to share from my heart. It really, to me, this morning is going to be me just sharing what I feel like God has been putting on my heart for myself and what I believe for Harmony Church. And there's a confession that's going to be mixed into that. and a little bit of preaching too. So it's going to be I don't even know what to call this morning, but it's going to be a little different. But let me just start with saying that God has been really stirring my heart and just moving me to a place where I want to confess this to you this morning, that I'm tired of being a good Christian, that I'm tired of it. And, you know, some of you know me really well, some of you may not, but I grew up in a really good Christian home. I, you know, traveled with my parents. They did children's ministry. I tried to be the best kid that I could be. You know, I love my parents and I love God, and I tried to please my parents and please God, and I basically tried to avoid any major rebellion and did my best to be a good kid. And, you know, my siblings joke that, like, I'm the favorite because I never really strayed from the path. I always tried to do the right thing. My two brothers call me a second father because they would always, you know, try to say, like, well, let's do this. And I'd be like, what? No, that, like, we're not doing that, you know. So I tried to be the good kid, and I went to Bible school. I got married, have these two beautiful boys. And God doesn't even want me to look at those notes. So God, you know, I have these two beautiful boys. I have a wonderful marriage. You know, I work to provide so that my wife doesn't have to work, so she can take care of the boys. You know, I do what I can. I work at the church. You know, I check a lot of the boxes in terms of being a good Christian, and I'm tired of it. And I feel like God has been just moving in my spirit and being, and just this voice that just gnaws at my spirit, and it says that there's more. There's more. And I believe that God is desiring for us as a church and for myself personally to step into something so much more. Because the reality is this: when I look at the world, when I read the newspaper, and I have an hour drive into work every day, so 2 hours in the vehicle every day, and I'll often listen to like 580 or, you know, 1310 news, just kind of hearing what's going on, and it's just, you know, this person has killed himself, and this person has shot up this many people, and, you know, the uneasiness with the election in the States, and just the confusion with what... Everything just seems to be collapsing. And there's, if you know, when you go into your workplaces, when you are at home, when you talk to your neighbors, what you see is brokenness. What you see is bondage. What you see is sin running rampant and people spiraling out of control. I mean, it's all around us. And I work with probably 50 to 60 construction worker guys who have never been in church. And to see their lives and the bondage and captivity and the alcoholism and the drugs and the abuse and just the rampant just rebellion and brokenness that I see, the world doesn't need some good people. The world needs some people that are on fire. And I believe that God is calling myself, my life, to be a person that is on fire. I don't want to just be good. You know, I used to work and people would come to me and actually tell me, oh, Dan, you're such a good guy. You know, and I would quickly tell them, hey, it's not me. I'm not good. Jesus is the one who's good. And they'd be like, what? They didn't understand that. But the reality was they would be like, oh, you're such a good guy, Dan. You know, you're always kind and you never get angry. And, you know, people can yell at you and you don't respond and yell back at them. Not always, but, you know, I was a good guy. People viewed me as a good person. But when I look at the world doesn't need just some more good people, some good church-going people. You know, you go to church and you give a little money and you raise your kids to the best that you can, and, you know, you hope that they choose to follow Jesus, and then you die and you go to heaven, and that's a great thing. And you pray and you hope that your kids go to heaven and maybe they end up in heaven, and that's a good thing too. But I don't just want that. I want more. I want to be so on fire for Jesus that every single conversation that I have, every place that I go, that Jesus would go. that He is the one that's walking in my feet. He's the one that's using my lips to speak. Because when I look at Jesus' life, I look at somebody who lived with impact. That every single conversation he had, it did something in people's hearts. It either drove them away because they're like, whoa, this is wild. I need to get away from this. Or it drove them to him because of the love that they sensed in his voice, the compassion, and the fact that he walked in power. I mean, incredible power. And people would say, well, that was Jesus. He was God. Listen, Philippians 2 reveals to us that Jesus emptied himself of his divinity. The reason that he was able to do the wonders that he did is because he was fully surrendered to the Father and completely saturated with the Holy Spirit. You have the Spirit of God inside of you. I have the Spirit of God inside of me. We can walk in the same power that Jesus walked. We can live in the same way. We can have victory. We can see people healed. We can know people's thoughts. I want to talk to atheists who mock God, who are angry at God and who mock the idea of God. And I want God to speak into my heart and say, listen, this is what they're thinking. This is what they've done. Nobody else knows that. Only God can. And you speak that into your heart. You speak that into their life. You speak that into their life. And you know what they would do? They would say, nobody knows that. And you say, God knows. God knows. And they would fall to their knees and say, God, he's alive. He's real. That's the power that we can walk in. Jesus, he ministered to the woman at the well. And what did he do? He revealed the thoughts of her heart, the thoughts of her mind. Nobody else knew these things, but Jesus did because the Spirit was revealing it to him. Not because he was God and omniscient and omnipotent, because the Spirit was revealing it to him. We have the Spirit of God inside of us. It's in us, and he's wanting to come out. He's wanting to be a burning flame. Friends, when you think of Fort McMurray, I think of the Fort McMurray fires. The thing that just ripped through that town and just disrupted that village. You know, it was a tragedy. People's lives were just uprooted. It was a massive disrupting force. God is an all-consuming fire. He lives within you. And here's the reality. Here's the challenge that we as Christians face. We live in a country that is very, very wealthy. We live in a nation that has been afforded with just incredible privilege, incredible privileges. We are a rich nation. We are a rich people. Every single one of you sitting here tonight is rich. You may not think, whoa, compared to maybe LeBron James and Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods, Wayne Gretzky, some of you hockey guys. Compared to these athletes and celebrities who make millions and millions and millions of dollars, we don't think we're rich. But friends, when you compare yourself to the rest of the world, they would look at you and they say, what, you have two vehicles? I tried to find the statistics on this. I couldn't find it. But the reality is there's like 4% of the world, or maybe 3% of the population owns two vehicles. Maybe even less, actually. I'm not 100%, but I know that there is this statistic that's just, we are rich. And you know what Jesus said about the rich? He said, it is difficult for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Very difficult. And the disciples, at Jesus saying this, they were astonished. And they're like, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, with man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And friends, when I see that fire that ripped through Fort McMurray and disrupted lives, I think of the reality that Jesus is a greater fire than that fire. And friends, you know people, they're comfortable in their lives. They have their jobs and they have their nice paying, they go on their nice vacations and they have maybe their vacation home and everything's good and everything's comfortable. Why would I want or need God? What is that to me? There needs to be a disrupting fire that enters their life, that confronts them with the very reality and presence of an almighty God who that will one day they will stand in front of. There needs to be a fire that we walk in that disrupts lives. Because I don't know about you, but I want to be a disruptor. I want to let my life be a disrupting force for the kingdom of heaven. And I'm not okay with just being a good Christian. I want to be a disrupting force. I want to step into my workplace, and I want to confront people in conversations, and I want the very presence of God to captivate their heart. That they would not know what's going on, but they would sense something, they would feel something, and then they would come back to me and be like, Daniel, I don't know what it is, I don't know what it's about you, but there's something on you. That's what we should be walking in. That's what Jesus walked in. That's what he's calling us to walk in. And here's a reality check. If we aren't seeing people saved, if we aren't seeing people healed and delivered, that when we walk into rooms and demonic oppressed people are there, that they would be terrified, that there would be a fear in the demons because they sense Jesus step into the room. That's what we should be walking in. And if you're not experiencing that, I know that I have not, that I've been lacking. I've experienced measures of it. I've tasted little bits and pieces of it. But if we're not stepping in that, if we're not walking in that, something's wrong. Something's not right. And you know what God is just continually bringing me back to? He continually brings me back to James verses 4 and 8. Back to James verses 4 and 8. Why James 4 verses 8? I believe that he keeps bringing me back to James 4 verses 8 because the people that James was speaking to, they're facing a similar situation that Canadians are facing. See, the people that James was speaking to, the church, they were caught up in desiring wealth, in desiring the riches, because the church was a mixture of poor and rich. And the people were just giving attention to the rich. They saw what the rich had, they saw their privileges, they saw the comforts that they had, and they wanted it for themselves, and they were catering to the rich, and they wanted what the rich had, and their energy and their time was being divided. Because, yeah, they were Christians and they wanted to follow God, but they were also divided because they wanted what the rich had and they wanted the privileges that the rich had. And if you look through and read through James, there's a lot about riches and just slamming riches. And it's not because it's evil to be rich. It's because people's attention and desire and focus was all about that. And friends, I believe that when James 4 verses 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. It's incredible because here James is revealing to us the essence of purity. Purity is not being double-minded. It's being solely focused on something. And God is saying, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. But guess what? There's a condition. Did you get that? There is a condition, purity. Is your mind and heart solely focused on me? Because if it's not, you're not going to hear me and not going to see me in the same measure. I mean, this is just basic. If your mind is consumed with what the world can offer you and, you know, the pleasures and the comforts and these types of things, and you're thinking about constantly that next car that you want to get or that bigger home that you want or that nice vacation or that, you know, 4 months off of doing, you know, this and that, and you're always thinking about these things, well, guess what? Room for God is going to be limited. I think of the ocean and this ocean that flows into this little river. And as this river is receiving the life from this vast ocean and this flow, it's alive. But the moment that river starts to get blocked, stuff builds up, things get in the way, and there's just a little bit of room for that fresh water to flow into that river, well, then it dries up and it dies. This is what happens to so many of us, and this is me, I'm saying, confessing today that I have blocked up the pathway in my own life and limited God to a little bit of a stream. And will that little bit of a stream make a difference? Will it impact? Yeah, it will. Some, you know, there will be people in your life who are impacted by your life. And I'm sure that many of you have experienced, you know, people maybe coming to the Lord and maybe you've seen the odd healing here and there. Because there is a stream that God is putting into your heart. But friends, I want to break the stream. I want to break the stuff, the garbage that's been placed up that's blocking, and I want to see people saved every day. I want to see people healed. Every single time I lay my hands on somebody, I was in the hospital on Thursday praying for a little girl, 6 months old, whose heart was failing. My coworker told me this at work, and he said she's had 3 surgeries. She's going to go for a 4th one. Her heart is failing. She might need a heart transplant. She may only live to be 10 years old. That's the best prognostication that she's got. I went in there, and I put my hand in that little girl, and I prayed that Jesus would raise her, that he would heal her heart. And here's the reality, though. If we are letting just a stream come in because we've so blockaded our life with just stuff, we're so busy. We're so busy. We don't got time for that or for this because, you know, I got this on my schedule, and I got this, and I got that, and I got, you know, I got my 3 shows that I need to watch and all this stuff. We've just so blocked our hearts and our lives that God's just got a little bit of a stream. And then when we get into a situation like that, our faith is just small. Because here's the reality. When you're near God and God is near to you, you start to believe. Your faith rises. And you start to just believe for the miraculous. The closer you are to God, the more he's going to move in your life, the more he's going to speak to you. When the pathway is clear, he becomes massive. He consumes your heart, your mind, your everything. And you will just step into situations with a faith like Jesus had. But if Jesus is just, he's got a little stream coming in, well, then you're going to be limited. And not only that, but when he speaks, when he moves you, he says, Dan, I want you to go here. I want you to pray for that person. If you've so just blocked your heart with all this stuff, you won't even hear his voice because you're thinking about other stuff. And I know that that's happened in my own heart. I love sports. I'm a huge sports fan. But man, oh man, can sports just get to a place in my heart where it's just consuming me. And I put hours into, you know, watching football and reading up on hockey and da-da-da and all this stuff, and I'm just consumed with sports. And this is my confession, that it so consumes my heart and my mind that it gets to a point where when God is trying to say something, I'm not hearing it because my mind is on the sends. And he's convicted me of that, spoken that into my heart. And he's saying, will you get this stuff out so that I can flow? Because when we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. And where power comes from, it's not from you. It's from Jesus in you. And we can do nothing apart from Christ. He is the vine. We are the branches. John 15. We can do nothing apart from him. He is the answer to stepping and walking in power. So we got to be near to him. We got to be close to him. And when he's close to us, the river will flow with life. And we will be a disrupting force. But the question then becomes, for my own heart, what are we doing? Are we okay with just being good Christians? And friends, I don't know I'm just going to be really straight. Be really straight with you, okay? We should be, as a church, seeing people healed and saved and delivered. And we should be seeing people who are on a path for destruction just gripped and chained, taken away from that and brought into life and brought into hope. This should be a reality. This shouldn't just be once every 3 years we see somebody new come into the church. It should be a daily thing. God will grow his church. The Spirit of God is in us. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. He's in you. What's wrong then? Why did numbers dwindle and people are just, I couldn't be bothered with that. Why don't you come to church? I couldn't be bothered. They don't need just another good person. There needs to be a fire that just disrupts their life, that consumes them, that when you speak to them, there's a burning, that there's a fire that would melt in their heart and their spirit. That people would drive by this church and there would be something that would grip them. grip their heart and say, something's going on in there. Something's happened. I don't know what it is, but I need to see it. I need to experience it. That's what Jesus can do. That's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to unleash. He is an all-consuming fire. So what's the problem then? Where are we disconnecting? And honestly, I believe that for a lot of us, it's because we're divided. Our lives are divided. We want to love the Lord and serve God, but we also want all the privileges and the comforts and the things that are afforded with just, you know, nice things and comfortable things. Because reality is this, when we surrender to Christ completely and say, Jesus, I want you to take all of me, every part, he will disrupt your life first. And friends, I am scared of this. And I believe that that is a part of the reason that I have not stepped into this more fully, because there is a fear on my part. Because I know that God will disrupt my life. And the question is, are you willing to let God disrupt yours before he can disrupt others? Because he will change things. Things that you're comfortable with. Things that you're just, you know, he'll do something. For me, I don't know what that looks like. Maybe it's God saying, I want you to leave MCON, a nice job with full benefits that you know, pays really good. Maybe God is saying, I want you to step away from that and into faith. I don't know. But I know that if I was to do what I say that I want to do this morning, that there will be a disruption. And you have to ask yourself, are you willing? Because here's the reality, I'm not okay with seeing and hearing news of fathers who are abusing their kids. I'm not okay with seeing teenagers who have no direction, who are giving themselves away sexually because they don't understand. It's just free. It's just whatever. Who cares, man? I'm not okay with little girls growing up in homes where the dad is not there. I'm not okay with people who go in and shoot up schools and people who blow themselves up. I'm not okay with these things. So what do? We become a disrupting force. We become a fire that consumes and transforms our communities and the people around us. Because when Jesus' fire strikes into the hearts of these people, a father who would abuse his child, who would neglect a child, will be saved, will find Christ, and then they'll bring life to their child. They'll bring freedom to their babies. This is what Jesus brings. The man, the individual who was going to shoot up a school and take the lives of young children or adults or whoever, when Jesus strikes into their heart, they will be transformed. Instead of shooting a gun, they'll be opening the Bible. This is what Jesus can do. This is what we need. This is what our culture needs. So I'm saying to you, are you willing to let Jesus disrupt your own life so that he can disrupt others? Because it's needed. We're living in a desperate time. We're living in a desperate time. Evaluate your energy. Where is your time and your money going to? Where are all your resources going to? Are they going into the kingdom? Is your heart solely focused on God and his life and seeing him just blow up in other people's lives? Or are you just distracted with your own pursuits and your own desires and your own ambitions? Let God disrupt that. So what I want to do this morning, I want to say this. I do believe that the fire of God can strike our heart, your heart, and that you can become a raging fire, a disrupting force, that this is for us today. But you have to say yes to God completely. And friends, here's the reality. You have the Spirit of God inside of you if you've invited Jesus into your life. I know most of you. You have done that. There is a river, an ocean. You are a river. God is the ocean. He is flowing into your life. But friends, there are blockades in every single one of your lives, myself included. There are things that have propped themselves up in your life that have become a distraction, that are taking your energy and time away from the purposes of God, from experiencing God in fullness. There are things in every single one of your lives. All of you. So what I want to say this morning is, would we repent as a church? Would we allow ourselves, I don't care if you stay in your seat, if you want to come to the front, if you want to just please, would we as a church repent of the things that have propped themselves up in our hearts and our lives, that have blocked the path? Because we need to repent. Repentance is getting, saying to God, block, take all the stuff away. Wash it away. Take all those things and just wash them away, Lord. I want a clear path. I want a direct path. I want to be close to you. I want to walk in your power. I want to see people healed. I want to see people saved and delivered. That I think that repentance is the foundation, is the beginning place. It's saying, wipe away the stuff, wipe away the garbage, make clear the path, Lord. There is every one of you, there are things that have propped themselves up. I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you, would you be willing to say, God, disrupt my life, clear the path, because in that, God will unleash a fire on you and through you to ignite those around you. That this is something that God is hungering for in your life, in this church. That we wouldn't be able to contain the people that are here as a result of the fire that has been spread because of you. Because of the fire that is in you. Would we let it out? Would we unleash that? Would we repent? I don't know who's doing music. Can we have somebody to come up and just... So literally, I'm just going to close with this. I'm going to say, please, please repent. Ask God. And if you don't know what are those things that have blocked the path. But friends, here's the reality. If you're not seeing people saved and healed and delivered and transformation, there are things that are blocking the path in your life. God is wanting to break down the dam and to flow into you like never before. That is His desire for us. If you don't know what they are, ask the Lord. Get on your knees and say, God, I don't know what it is. Would you show me? Would you show me what it is that's blocking the way? Show me what's blocking the path. What's stunting that water, that life of the Lord's presence flowing into my life? What is it, Lord? Ask Him. Seek Him. But maybe you know what it is. Maybe you know that there are sins. Maybe there's habits. Maybe there's hobbies that have consumed you. And you're saying, God, take them. Take them away, Lord. I give them to you. I give them to you because I want to be a raging fire. I want to be a disrupting force. Not just because that's the best life to live, but because the world needs you. The world needs us to be a disrupting force. And Lord, I say for myself, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, for valuing things above you. For putting my energy and time into things that are not you.
He said, first let me bury my father. That seemed like a very reasonable. But at that moment, in that time, in that circumstance, it was, Jesus said, you know, you got to be able to let go of father, and mother, and wife, and children, and business. And you got to let go. Even what seems to be very reasonable. Sometimes that's just our excuse. Sometimes we just blame others and our family and whatnot for our situation. Well, if it wasn't for my dad or my wife or my if it wasn't for that old man, that husband of mine, you know, whatever it may be. Jesus says, come follow me. We've been impacted today with a message. I'm going to call some of the praise team that are not at the altar to come up. We're going to sing a song. We just want to just rest at the altar or wherever you are today. But here's something that I've just sensed what I feel led to do. I know Dan is busy. I know he's got, but I think I'm able to do this now. Pastor Dan is going to preach part two of this next Sunday. And that's just not so that I can go off to children's camp and not think about sermon writing. I have a message stirring in me. It can wait. We got to strike on this coming Lord's Day, and I just whispered it in Pastor Dan's ear. I just said, you're preaching on Sunday. I want him to stay in the flow of this river that he's preached about. I want him to stay in the flow of this river. I've been excited to hear the things that I'm hearing from our pastor, and I don't want to break away from it. I want him to stay in that flow all week and deliver it this next Lord's Day. You're going to tell somebody this week, Pastor Dan, the Lord's stirring him. The Lord's stirring our young pastor up and coming here. I don't want to let it break. I don't want to stop. When you get in the river, stay in the river. All right? So Pastor Dan's praying for, Lord, help me. He's going to work all week. Now may the blessing of our God Almighty, may the blessing of He who sits upon the throne, may the blessing of Him who is high and lifted up rest upon you, Lord. May He grant you His peace. May He give shalom. May He give grace to you today. May you walk in peace. May you be a vessel of peace. May you disrupt the world's disruption with your explosion of peace and love and joy. May the Lord God bless you today.